Awesome. Thanks, Aaron, and just all of you guys leading. It's so rich to just worship together as sisters, isn't it? Well, let's just do a quick review of kind of what we've been talking about so far. Last night, we just got started in considering that God really does have a good plan for us in the midst of our real lives. And it's Christ. It's intimacy with Jesus in the midst of our real lives, where our feet are hitting the pavement of the earth. And I loved how Aaron put that in our unique stories, that there is real joy for us through the Lord, and that coming near to the Lord in the midst of that is a key part of this. There is no other way. This is what God has called us to as his own, those that belong to him, that he's designed us to live in intimacy with him, a place that is, in his design, meant to be joyful, but a joyfulness that we could say is defined by soul-settledness, peace, contentedness, and I'd say all those in increasing, consistent measures, not perfect, not without ever having struggles. That's not the normal Christian life. We all are going to continue to have things we wrestle with. And what I want to delve into tonight is just to consider how our real life as individuals, again, that single story that God has for you, that is also a unique path for you to draw close to Jesus. It's a unique path for you to experience the closeness of Christ. And we've looked at Mary and how it's a normal part of our existence that we're going to have things that trouble us, that are wholly disturbing to us. There's going to be times where we are doubting or questioning, not really understanding what God is up to. But we also have seen how Mary came through that surrendering as a doula. And is there anybody that can say what a doula is without looking at your notes? And if you get it, you get that pair of socks that was up there.
I'm never
going to
read that down.
So, yeah. So, can anybody remember, what is a doula? What does that word mean?
Servant.
Right, a servant. It's a female servant. And I love that. In the Greek, and I have not studied Greek, but I've got tools that help me, that there's words that are feminine or masculine that relate only to us. And that word doula is only used two times in the New Testament, and one of them is here when Mary says that in Luke 1. Right, it's a servant, it's a handmaiden, somebody who is utterly consumed with doing the will of another. And that just is a part of this path for us in receiving and entering into the joy that God has for us. Doulas are first those that belong to Jesus, and again, in that belongingness, we live in the nearness of Jesus, that he is with us. But we do live this out also in the midst of our real life scenarios. And that's so important for us to acknowledge, but also for us to be aware of and to accept. And, you know, that includes not just in our individual lives and relationships, but also in our ministries, like our real life scenarios. And something I wanted to share with you about our ministry at Harvest USA, and I forgot this morning, is I brought some of our newsletters and my own personal newsletter that I send out and just some info in our ministry. You're welcome to take any of that. I just thought some of you that might be new to you, to our ministry, and just want to share more about who we are. But a part of what we do is the direct ministry. I meet with women all the time who are wrestling through their own struggles, wives who are in marriages impacted by things, parents. But a big part of what we do as an organization is we want to be equipping the body of Christ to think biblically in these areas. And so a part of that is we have interns. We're actually going to suspend our internship this year because we're hoping to bring on some new staff. But every year for the last 5 years, I've had two or three women who've interned with me. And I've come to see that if I want to really train them well in ministry, I can't just share with them all of my success stories as a discipler, as a mentor, as a teacher, as a counselor. I'm not a licensed counselor, but I do counsel a lot in the sense of having targeted biblical conversations with people struggling, and I think that would be a way to look at biblical counseling. So I let my interns in on some of those things that I might call my rock star counseling moments, because they need to see what does a counselor do when you walk into the office and you yourself are feeling really overwhelmed by something? Or how do you deal with a situation when things don't go the way you're thinking in a counseling situation? These are all ways for us to learn. These are all ways for us to see how we are dependent upon Jesus. And so I want to share with you some of my rock star counseling moments from Harvest USA. One of them was one of the very first women that came to me. This was within my first couple of years. And it was a dear sister. She was elderly. And she was a woman who was actually, for the first time, starting to kind of face some of the very hard things that had happened against her as a young girl, but also the ways that she had responded to that with her own sin. And she was actually an acquaintance of one of my colleagues, and so she came in, and she was an older woman, and she was very feisty. She was very emotional. She was very passionate in the way she communicated. And so as she was sharing her story, she was getting very ramped up in my office. And she began to talk in a very passionate tone, and it began to escalate. And before I knew it, she was there, and she was like banging on my coffee table or banging on her own, on the little end table, and saying, and again, saying this in the midst of her own pain and just confusion, her own disturbedness, her own doubting, her own so many things of, why did God allow this? I don't understand this. Why? What's going on? Why did God do this? And she went on and on, and it was one of those situations where, and I typically wouldn't do this, but she was somebody that I knew I needed to enter into the communication at her level. So I came back, and I started saying, I know God is love. God was angry about that, sister. It bruised his heart, too. And she was taken aback. Now, they didn't teach me this at CCF. This is Ellen's counseling training. But I entered into it, and it actually kind of calmed her heart a little bit. And we began to talk. Now, and we finished that time and had a good time together, just considering the goodness of the Lord. Now, what I didn't mention is when I came on staff 6 years ago at Harvest, they had never had a woman full-time, so they had to create an office for me. So they took a common area and enclosed it with two walls that aren't like super thick, and so sound travels through them. And my colleagues know that they've gotta be careful. So what I forgot about and wasn't really thinking about is how this little session was being heard by my colleagues to the right of my office. And so, and again, I serve with the most shepherd-hearted, godly men who really have my back. They love me, they support me as their sister and as their colleague, and they get concerned for me. So what I didn't realize is what they were hearing in a muffled sound outside of that office was something like this. God is doing, what are you doing? God is doing, oh my God. So I had ended my time with this lady thanking the Lord, and she and I were very peaceful. So we come out of the office, and she leaves. One of my male colleagues comes running around the side, and he's like this, sister, are you okay? I mean, he thought that I was gonna be coming out of that office like this. He's like, Ellen, we didn't know if she was slamming you up against the wall or what was going on in there. And so we just laughed and laughed. That was real life. That was actually her real heart coming out, and it was also real ministry that was a little bit unconventional. I do unconventional things in my office. I'll act out scenes from the Bible with some of the ladies that come in. I'll do whatever. But there's also times where just my own just craziness of life happens. Like the woman that came in, this was probably, I don't know, a few years back, another woman came in. And she was a younger sister who was telling me up until that point probably one of the harder stories I'd ever heard as far as a woman just diving into sexual sin of a variety of types. And it was very sobering. And this was the first time she'd ever revealed these things to anybody. So I was sitting there on my couch, and she was sitting right across from me. And I'm, you know, doing kind of the dutiful thing and the right thing, the wise thing, taking notes down. And
As it so happened, around this time, I had noticed, like a couple weeks, in the weeks leading up to this, I'd noticed that my glasses were getting kind of loose. And I thought, I'll, you know, get over to the eye store, the place right on Lime Complex. I'll get over there and get these fixed. But I don't know how, but I managed to kind of do my own little self-repair. I didn't stick a part of a paper clip in there, so don't worry about that. But I'd had it holding together. So this young woman is just pouring out her heart, and I'm, mm-hmm. In the midst of that, I just somehow like went up like this to scratch my head, and I realized this entire arm of the glass was gone. All I was feeling was my head, and I'm sitting here, and she's talking a mile a minute, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I happened to lean back. The whole arm was hanging down from my curls. And this is where it's good to be a curly girl, because that was like, it was lost in there. Here's what I will say. This is where that being a rock star counselor, I managed to just, she's talking to go like this, pull it down, and put it behind me in the couch, and just continue on. And I just kept my head like this. So, now, she never came back, now that I think about it.
But you know, that's real life, and I share stories like that with my interns, along with situations where I was unwise, along with situations where I had no idea what to say. Because my interns come in to serve with me just like I did. They're scared, they're intimidated, they're eager to learn about how to minister the gospel into these things, but it's unnerving to them, and they need to see that I struggle just like they do, because that's my real life. It's my real life in the midst of what I'm doing at Harvest. You know, like Julie Lowe said, Ellen, you're going to become the expert for us to look at. I'm not an expert, but I have learned a lot by being in the counselor's chair for so long. But there's never a day that I go into that office not needing to be covered in Christ, not needing to just be fully dependent upon Him. This is a part of my unique path to draw near to Jesus, as He's calling me to draw near to women who are really hurting. Now, everyone, just put those pictures out of your mind, or you're going to be distracted. Okay? No. But I wanted to share those things because this is what I want to encourage, invite, woo, and challenge all of you. That all of you have real life scenarios. Some of them are sin struggles. Some of them are pain. Some of them are loss. Some of them are just confusions, or so many different things, health struggles, family struggles. I don't know why God has allowed these things to happen, why He's shielded you from other things, but I know this, that in His sovereign economy, He wants to use these very things to be a path to draw you towards Himself, and in some way, actually, to be a rippling of grace out to a very hurting and broken world. And I want us to then come back now and look again at this bent woman as an example of a woman who was put on display by the Lord in her very visible, bent state. And this was the very path that the Lord chose for her to be drawn near to Him. So I want us to look at these things listed on your sheets about how this bent over woman responded to Jesus. And we're going to look at five things here. How she listened, left her seat, came to Jesus, received and believed, and praised. And we're just going to go by these one by one. And I'd like to just ask, would any of you be willing to just stand up and read the story again from Luke 13, 7, 10 to 17? Anybody with a loud voice willing to do that? Okay, how about if I do it? I mainly just wanted to get a drink of water there. So, okay. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed, you are set free from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I'm actually going to stop there. So first things first, She listened. She was there. She was present where Jesus was speaking. She allowed herself to be available to hear what he was going to say, to hear what the word that was going to be spoken that day. That's a key thing for us is, are we in places in our life where we are able to listen and hear the voice of the Lord? There's so many voices that are competing for our attentions and our affections these days. There's so many noises that can just, I think, crowd out the voice of Christ. And it was actually a different article that I was looking at in this magazine that I happened to stumble upon, the one by Nicole Nordeman this morning. The one that I was actually looking at, thinking about our time together, was this one. It was called In Praise of Solo Tasking. Let me just read a part of this. The timer beeps as my toddler cries, as a text dings, as my laptop flashes an email, as my mind explodes. I repress the urge to bark the chaos into stillness. Then I breathe, sidestep the whirling cloud, and carry on. Ah, the multitasking life, hurtling forward, leaving us all with whiplash and crumpled shards of attention. Are we happy yet? More efficient? Truth is, I love multitasking. I live by my laptop and smartphone, and an unanswered email or text is an anomaly. I march with my media to the drumbeat of productivity. Don't we all? And the author goes on to write a very encouraging, provocative, but I think a very helpful, and for me, just eye-opening article about just how we have become so accustomed now to constant connectivity, constant interaction, constant connection. And she goes through a whole list of things about how this is really spiritually detrimental for us in a lot of ways. And she lists several things. I'm just going to read one of them where she says, it can become something that is actually enslaving. Ongoing multitasking, always beholden to responding, to fitting in another thing, can be a life of bondage. I subject myself to unsleeping digital taskmasters in the name of efficiency. Is this the freedom Jesus died to give me? No, it chases away Christ-centered cohesion of spirit, replacing it with fragmentation. This is the most consistent spiritual red flag I feel when multitasking, and others agree. And actually, Anne Voskamp, to give her another shout out, I just happened to notice, as I was reading the blog she probably wrote after she had been cooking all day with her children, I don't know. She is an amazing writer and just godly woman. But she quoted something on a blog recently about the impact it does on our brain's ability to focus when we're just like checking an email or doing something here. You know what I'm talking about? It was something about distraction. And it was, she said, it takes so much time to recover from that little bit of distraction that it, do you remember exactly what I'm talking about? I didn't have time.
It said it was marijuana, something about like if you had smoked, it was like the same kind of like degenerative yeah. thing in your brain. And then there was one other thing that it said.
Yeah.
It was just very,
the way that this woman talks about it, it's like our brain, it's brain toggling. Like we're going from thing to thing. The reason I bring that up in the midst of this is not to blast, social media or laptops or smartphones or any of that stuff, but we just need to be aware of, are those things clouding out the voice of the Lord? And clouding out even the ability to sit quietly with God's word without being distracted. It's very hard for me. I am very, very easily distracted person. So this is something that for me is very challenging. So the woman was listening. She was present with Jesus. Ask the Lord to show you, are there noises, are there voices of whatever type that are distracting you from Jesus, from hearing him? The second thing was she left her seat. The woman had to get up and leave where she was in order to respond. And in order for us to act upon Jesus' invitation, so do we. There are places in our life, and it doesn't have to necessarily be anything that's bad or an outward sin. It might be. There could be things going on, unholy entanglements, unholy attachments, unholy activities. It could just be things that are just good gifts of the world that have become something elevated to a place that's clouding out the Lord, that are keeping us in a place, stopping us, being an obstacle to leave where we are, to go to where God is calling us. This woman was called out and she moved out. She moved. I heard a sister several years ago give a talk, the whole thing was about being women and women that are acting on our faith. And she was this real vivacious woman, and she said over and over in her talk, she would say, "You got to move. You got to move." And we all just kind of left that conference saying, "You got to move." But what does it say in Galatians 5:6? The only thing that really counts is faith expressing itself in love, movement, going forward. And sometimes we look at that as only towards loving people, but loving the Lord, moving towards the Lord. This woman left her seat. And again, that took so much courage for her. So much courage for her to leave where she was and to receive this call of Jesus to go and be with him. And again, the women that come to me at Harvest, I've heard so many times these words, "Ellen, you're the first person I've ever shared this with," which is at the same time deeply encouraging and very comforting, because praise God, we want to be a safe place that is a climate of grace. But it can also just be sad in light of, oh, I wish there were more places where women could be sharing these types of things. But it takes a lot of boldness to come into our office. I think it takes a lot of courage probably for most of us to go to any counselor's office. Like, I've seen, you know, a handful of counselors over the years, and it's always a little bit unnerving sitting in that waiting room. You know, you're kind of wondering, like, who's going to come in the door? You know, who's going to see me? And then I realize, well, we're going to be seeing each other, like, oh, you too. But coming to Harvest USA, I think, can just feel a little bit more intimidating, because people are coming there for issues surrounding sexuality. And even as some of you have mentioned to me, in general, the body of Christ just hasn't known how to talk about these things, and we're not talking about them a whole lot. But the women that come to me, they just become heroes to me, because they're taking that bold step in their bent state to get up out of their seat and to go to where they can hopefully get some help. And what we want to do as a ministry is to point them to Jesus, is to point them to Christ. And that's the third thing here. This woman came to Jesus. She came straight to him. I'm assuming, because in the story, it's almost instantaneous. I mean, there is no stop or pause. Like, Jesus waited while she shuffled her way forward, or everyone turned around and looked at this woman. It just says she was there. And I see that as so connecting to the very things we've just talked about, because again, in our current state of you know, all the busyness and the activity, if that would have been me, you know, I'll just try to shout out loud here, if that would have been me being called to Jesus, I would have been like, okay, I'm coming. Oh, yeah, I just got an email. Hold on. I'm coming. Oh, here's something to eat over here. Or, I just got to do this laundry over here. I mean, are any of you like that? Just kind of going from thing to thing? But this woman didn't wander. But she also wasn't called out to nothingness. She wasn't called out to vagueness. She wasn't called out to something that was where she was going to be shamed, but she did need to trust. She did need to trust that when she came to this man, that he wasn't going to shame her, wag that bony finger at her. Saying things like "wag that bony finger" is a part of the fruit of working with guys all the time. She came to Jesus, trusting that he was going to receive her, and he did. And the Lord, again, calls us out of our places to trust him, often using the very places where we're weak, the very places where we might feel bent. One of the biggest opportunities of that for me was for the CCF National Conference in 2006. That was the year I was an intern counseling at CCF. And I was asked to give a testimony at that national conference, which is about 1,000 people. And most of my classmates would be there, all the CCF staff. And I was asked to give a testimony of how CCF had impacted me and why I had come there. Well, I was so honored to be able to do that. But to order to tell that story, then I needed to tell the story, the real story of how I had come to learn about CCF. And that was through long patterns of emotionally entangled, dependent messes in my women relationships. I'd had a trail of those behind me, like four or five, of just messes that I'd gotten into with friendships, with women I had mentored, just very idolatrous, codependent, unhealthy relationships. And when I had found Ed Welch's book, When People Are Big and God Is Small, I thought, wow, this is the first time I've heard somebody addressing this biblically in a way that really rings true to my heart. But I was so nervous to get up and talk about that kind of a struggle in front of all these people. Like, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? Well, would you believe that one of the people listening to that testimony was John Freeman, who's the president of Harvest USA. And he was looking for a full-time women's minister to come, who would also have a lot of responsibility in teaching and speaking. And he followed up with me after that testimony and said, Ellen, I'd like to talk to you about a position that we have. And one thing led to another. Would you also believe that there was a woman sitting in the audience that day who was from a large PCA in Annapolis? And that led to me becoming their retreat speaker for a whole variety of PCAs down in that area. That led to me becoming a retreat speaker at another church, which led to somebody joining my support team, which led to a family offering me their house for a vacation, which led to meeting a younger sister who had just broken up with a man who had confessed his own struggles with homosexuality. And on and on and on it goes. I never would have dreamed that I would have been giving a testimony in front of 1,000 people, to people in front of me who I respected, like Sue Lutz and Paul Tripp and David Paulson, like talking about this struggle. No, Lord, why don't I talk about missions? No, daughter, you're mine. This is your real story, and I want you to share this. And I had no idea where that was going to go, but the Lord did, and he used it for his glory. And I had several women who came up to me, even over the course of those next weeks, sharing similar struggles, some who had gone the course of pursuing homosexual relationships, some who were involved in other things that maybe were very different externally, but it was all coming from the same place of a heart seeking life in creation. And that's where we're all much more alike than different, right? We're much more alike than different. So the woman came to Jesus through that bent state. And he's calling you to himself. He's calling you to himself, Ruth, wherever you're at. Fourthly, this woman received and believed. She received the call. She received his touch. And she believed. She's healed. I mean, his grace is poured out on her. She is a healed woman. She is made straight. This is something, too, that I want to just kind of challenge us with, is unbelief of what God says is true and our own idolatries, I think, are our two biggest hindrances, or probably our two big sin struggles that prevent us from intimacy with the Lord. Idolatry, we're looking for life and joy in this world at the exclusion of Christ, or we're trying to say Jesus plus this, and it's never going to work. God's ways are not changing. But also unbelief, and we all struggle with unbelief. I appreciated so much Aaron's honesty in her prayer of that song, that it's hard to sing that and to sing those words. And we've sung a lot of rich songs this weekend that, if I'm really honest, I can sing it and I can praise honestly, but I struggle to really believe it when my feet hit the real pavement of my life, that the Lord really is enough. Practically, I say a lot of times, no, Lord, I need this and that. But this woman came and she received and she believed. Again, how is the Lord calling you to believe? And do you realize that those are some of the things that are most precious to the Lord? Listen to this from Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. You can just jot that address down, and I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 9. Here's what the Lord says. Let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory or boast in his might. Don't let the rich man glory or boast in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. I love that the Lord, he wants to be known. He wants us to know him and to believe in him and to draw near to him. And we need each other to help with that. We need help believing in who he is. The final response here of this woman is that she praised. At the end of the story here, at least with her, what we see of her, she stands straight up and gives glory to God. She acknowledges that this did come from the Lord. And I can see that in my own life, that sometimes I'm quick to give thanks to him, but oftentimes I'm not. I just kind of go on reveling in the gift or reveling in how he answered a prayer in a way that delighted my heart. And I'm not always quick to rush to the throne and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for helping me believe you. Thank you for showing me how your word is true. Those are some of the responses that we see of this woman. Ask the Lord to help you see how those map onto your life, how he might be inviting you to take a step of growth in any one of those areas. The next thing I want to just touch on here is the nearness of God is our good. I'm going to go over this pretty quickly, but I just want to elaborate a little bit more on how this woman came to Christ. Because that is one of those commands that we see over and over in Scripture, of the Lord saying, come to me. Jesus saying, come to me. He draws near to us, and we draw near to him. We draw near, again, I've already said this, I'll just say it briefly, we draw near through our neediness. That's one of the ways we draw near. We also draw near just with our joy, but even in that, there's a neediness in that of, Lord, we need to put all of our focus onto you. So again, I would just want to ask you, where are you aware of your own neediness? Even tonight, in friendships, in your marriage, in your singleness. Again, I'm a single woman. I've not married at this point. At this point, it's pretty clear I'm not going to have my own children. I don't want to be one of those women in their 60s who has a baby for the first time because of having supplements or something. I've heard those stories. In your motherhood, you know, those, I'm so thankful for the moms who are here with little kids. You guys know, just there's a unique sacrifice to come here, as well as with husbands or caregivers or watching out over your children. So, just glad you're here to hopefully just take a breather, have a breather, but. As an employee, as a daughter, as a mentor, where are the places that you're feeling needy? These are the very places where the Lord is saying, come, come to me for companionship. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Again, my ministry to wives is one of the more challenging parts of my ministry because these women are coming in such often traumatic situations. But these women become such heroes to me. I just had my wives group Thursday night. We meet two times a month, and I've got my largest group ever with 10 women that are coming every other Thursday night. And I've got three women that are kind of on the waiting list to enter in again when it opens. But there's one woman in there who, she's in a hard situation because her husband he's actually starting to turn a little bit of a corner with showing some signs of repentance. But they've been separated for a long time. She has little ones, special needs, and we were talking about just what is God calling us to do, and she said, Ellen, is it worth it? Like, is it okay? Is it enough to just say, I'm staying in the game? You know, I'm just trying to press forward. I'm seeking to love my children. I'm seeking to keep crying out to the Lord and out of my husband. I said, yes, absolutely, yes. She's coming to the Lord in the midst of that, seeking to rest in the companionship of the Lord, even when her heart is really breaking and feeling exceedingly lonely. The Lord invites us to companionship with himself, even when there aren't human companions around us. He says, come to me for life, focus, and purpose. This is what I love about John 15:11, where Jesus has gone through this whole teaching on many things that we don't have time to delve into tonight, but among them are being fruit bearers, abiding in the vine, abiding in his word, living lives of loving obedience and obedient love. And he says, I've told you all these things so that my joy would be in you and your joy be complete. And that includes our purpose of our life, the focus of our life, being fruit bearers for the kingdom of God. I mean, none of us are called to just abide in Jesus as a branch, as a bare branch. If we're abiding in Jesus, there's going to be fruit coming off of there. And that's purpose. That's life focus for us. But also for soul satisfaction. Isaiah 5:1, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And I actually didn't write down verse 2, but it says, come and delight yourself in the richest of fare. The richest of fare. That's the soul satisfaction that Jesus offers to us as we come to him. And then lastly, for strength, encouragement, and refreshment as we live in a world that is very painful and broken at times. And at different times we feel that more poignantly than at others. But again, you've probably heard these scriptures from Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, tone has everything to do with how we understand these scriptures. And we just do have to use sanctified imagination because we don't have, Jesus wasn't recorded with a little MP3 thing. So I don't know how, again, NIV dramatized, I know, would say, what Jesus would be saying this so monotone, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I don't think he said it that way. I don't know exactly, but of what I do know of the Lord's heart, of what I do know about his passion for his people, I think it was something maybe along these lines. And let me know if you disagree. Come to me, all of you daughters who are weary tonight and burdened, and I will give you rest myself. Take my yoke upon me, which is obedience. It is walking in my ways. It is being my follower. Take that yoke and learn from me because I'm gentle. I'm not harsh. I'm humble. I'm not an authority, craver. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find it in me. God loves us so much that he is committed to freeing us from that belief that says, God, you plus this are enough for me. Like, fill in the blank. What is it? We all tend to have at least one thing to fill in that blank. And the Lord has given me many opportunities, especially over these past handful of years, to be teaching me this. And my unmarriedness has been a part of it. As there's been some situations where my heart has been just really awakened, and so, again, towards some possibilities, and the Lord said, no, this isn't for you. And there's been times where I've just longed for that companionship that perhaps would come in a marriage. Even as I walk with a lot of women in very hurting marriages, there's still times, I think, and this is true for married and single, where we long for a companionship, don't we, that is never ending and always fulfilling. And there's about 2 years ago, I was over on the New Jersey shore, and I'd had a delightful, just fun weekend with some sisters. And we played games, and we cooked, and just had a great time. And then I thought, I'm going to take just the last afternoon. Everyone was leaving, and I was going to drive down to Cape May, which had become like a really sweet place for me. It was actually I went there on the one-year anniversary of my mom's death. And I just wanted to get away from Philly and just go be somewhere and just kind of be with the Lord and remember her. And I went there, and I saw dolphins that day. Now, in St. Louis, Missouri, we generally don't see dolphins jumping out of our lakes and ponds. So it's a big deal. When I see dolphins, I'm like a little kid on the shore, like squealing and just excited. So I've gone there like 3 or 4 times now, and with the exception of one time, I always see dolphins, and I pray, Lord, I want to see dolphins today. So I left this group, this time of fellowship with these women. I just wanted to be alone with the Lord, and I went down to Cape May, and I was just praying, Lord, I would love to see some dolphins today. So I went, I had my Bible, my journal, and I was just kind of walking up and down and glancing out at the water and just was praying, Lord, I just would really love to see just one jump out. But never happened, never happened, never happened. But okay, so I just went and sat on some rocks and journaled for a while. And it was really time where I needed to get in my car and start heading back to Philly. And so, again, by this time I was walking north, and I'm just trying to give you, so the way the sun was shining, like I couldn't see that well out here. So I had to keep looking out in this direction. So I was walking, and I just wasn't seeing any dolphins. And I was just bummed. I was disappointed. And plus, I'd really been laying that out to the Lord. And I thought, Lord, this is an easy thing. You know, I know you could do it, right? You know, come on, just a little dolphins for your daughter. So I finally just kind of gave up, and it was really about time where I needed to, you know, turn and go up through the sand to get to my car. And as I was walking, I did just kind of sense, you know, sometimes how the Spirit just kind of taps you. I just sensed a turn, and I turned, and right there were 3 dolphins jumping out of the water. Well, I squealed. I was like, ah! And I immediately wanted to share it with somebody. Now, I had my cell phone. Well, of course, down by the water, I have no signal. So I couldn't call anybody. I couldn't text anybody. And I mean, believe it or not, even as I'm up here, I'm kind of down the line extrovert, introvert. So, I mean, I'm not like just always a people person at all, but this was unlike me, but I wanted to just look for someone on this beach, like who can share this with me? And it was off season, so there was hardly anybody on there, but there was a couple that was coming towards me, and they were walking together. And I'm like almost stalking them, like looking at them, like wanting them to just look at me because I wanted to say, look. And they were just caught up in their own conversation and kind of looking at the ground. I mean, they didn't even cast a glance my way. So I'm just like, you know, someone to say, come on, everybody, look out here. And, you know, they're probably thinking, this girl must be from out of town, you know. She must be from the Midwest. But in that moment, again, I just sense the Lord impressing on my heart, Ellen, isn't it enough for you to share this with me? And all I could say was, and I smiled. I was like, yeah, Lord, it is. It is. But that wasn't my first response. My first response, and again, that's not bad. It's not bad to want to celebrate life with people. But sometimes the Lord just wants us to himself, and he's faithful to remove those distractions from our life. That's a part of coming to him. That's a part of heeding that call, listening to him, to come to him, and to find him as the richest affair. And I experienced him as the richest affair that day after I was, you know, Ellen, isn't it enough to enjoy this with me? He is enough. And Lord, you are enough. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't have to let me see those dolphins that day, but it was really sweet. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't have a cell signal. Thank you, Lord, that I was alone, even after I'd had this rich weekend with these sisters. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that through that aloneness, you showed yourself to me as the bread of life and as my companion who never leaves. And I pray for my sisters tonight. Lord, however you are speaking to them, calling to them, wooing to them, Lord, help them to hear you. You say in the Psalms, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will glorify me. Lord, we want to be women who hear you calling us to us in our troubles and experience you rescuing us and growing more and more into women like this dear woman in Luke 13 who came to you and stood up in praise. Lord, would you grow us into women of whom it could be said,
She didn't have an easy life, but she loved Jesus. Would you do that for your glory and for our joy? Amen.